Now, here on News Talk, we're saying enough is enough with the Government of Ireland's No Excuses campaign against sexual violence and sexual harassment. Our next interview, just to say, is not suitable listening for young ears. So if you do have little people around this morning, you might just want to turn us down for the next few minutes. 4 years ago, my next guest, Dominique Meehan, was raped at a gaming conference in Blanchardstown in Dublin. In 2017, Keith Hearn, with an address in Allanton Drive in Talla, received a 12-year sentence for rape and false imprisonment. Dominique has travelled from Letterkenny in Donegal, where she's from, to be with us here on News Talk Breakfast this morning. Dominique, you're very welcome to the programme. I know you travelled a distance to be with us, so firstly, thank you for that. You might start by telling us about what happened in 2015, a day I'm sure you thought would be just like any other day.
Yeah, I was at a convention in Blanchardstown in 2015, the 4th of July 2015, and I was minding the screening room, which means that I was putting on movies and TV shows all day for the attendees to come in and they can just watch Thundercats or X-Men. They can watch whatever they want all day. But unfortunately, on the Saturday, Windows Updates decided it was going to pop up, and after that, the projector wouldn't connect. So I started asking people in the room, would they help me? There was a 14-year-old girl in the room and Keith Hearn sitting at the back of the room towards the door. There was no help. So I said, right, I'll go get one of the techies to help me out. The 14-year-old girl left, and before I could get to the door, Keith Hearn shot it in front of me, and he raped me until my friend burst in and tackled him. My friend shouted at me to call the police, call the hospital, call everyone. And I had to call 999 in front of Keith Hearn. He tried to grab me a couple of times. At that point, I was still naked from the waist down. So I pulled on my jeans as soon as that was done and went out into the bathroom until the Gardaí came. He started saying that, oh, we'd met in the stairs earlier. We planned it. And the Gardaí, I will admit, they asked me, do you know him? I said, I've met him in conventions before, but I don't even know his name. There's about the same 2,000 people that go to the same conventions every year. There was at the time about 10 conventions that you go to, and I'd seen him at one convention maybe 3 years before. So I had to basically say to the Gardaí that I'm gay. I don't like men. There's no way I would have planned that, even if I was friendly with him. Yeah, I was told that I was going to a SATU unit, a sexual assault treatment unit, and that I'd be going to the rotunda. About half an hour later, I found out that the rotunda was, for some reason, unusable. It was occupied or something. I was never told why I couldn't go there, so I was brought to Mullingar in Westmeath by ambulance, and I had to go through the whole job with the rape kit and getting swabs taken. I don't want to get too graphic, but they cut my hair, they cut my pubic hair, they did like pap smears, and it was just awful.
Dominique, can I ask you, we have heard accounts before of people who've either attended the sexual assault treatment unit in the Rotunda or other units around the country. There are certain things you can't do until you're seen by a person. Now, this happened in Blanchardstown, and you had to make your way, or you were brought to Mullingar. What kind of a time frame are we talking there, whereby you had to, I suppose, preserve yourself until you could be examined?
Basically, the rule is not to pee or not to drink. Don't even hug anyone. Just stay completely in your little box. I don't know the exact time frame, but I was either attacked at 5:30 or 6:00 in the evening, and I didn't get a drink of water until exactly 1 a.m.
When you think back to that day now, Dominique, and it was in 2015, and we're obviously 2019 now, and you've been through so much since, and we'll come on and talk about Keith Hearn being sentenced and the appeal. What are your main emotions now when you look back to that day, or do you only do it maybe in a scenario when you're asked to talk about it?
No, unfortunately, it's something that comes up every day. I was told by a doctor, try a weighted blanket, it might help you sleep. I had a panic attack for the first 3 nights that I used a weighted blanket because it felt like someone was lying on me. It's not something that you just forget. If someone looks at you wrong in the street, if someone closes the door in front of you, you have that instant flashback of, that door's locked, I'm not getting out of
panic.
Here. Yeah. Like, I still don't lock doors in my own house. even if I'm going to the bathroom, shower, can't lock doors. It's like I'm not in counselling at the moment. I'm trying to wean myself off of it. But I'm still medicated. I've still got PTSD. I've just been told over the summer that I have borderline personality disorder, which is directly from the attack. I had a suicide attempt during the summer. It's just not good. Like, I like telling people that I'm okay, but there's no okay anymore. There's just getting on with it.
Just trying to find a new normal.
Exactly.
You waived your right to anonymity, Dominique. Tell me about that process and the decision, I guess, to do that.
People laugh at me. People laugh at me when I say this. There was no process. There was no actual decision. My dad took me out to the border of the Mullingar Hospital so I could have a smoke. This was the day after, and I said, I'm not letting him get away with this. I said, obviously, a little bit more colourfully than that, but I was going, like, people are going to know his name. I didn't even know his name at that point. No one had told me what his name was. I didn't know his name until the November.
But you were determined that you wouldn't, you know, protect him in a way by keeping silent yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Because I didn't know him, and it was a stranger rape, which I don't know if people know, that's incredibly uncommon to have a stranger rape you. It's usually a friend, a family member, someone that you know. So I was not going to let him go to jail and come back to my convention family and do that to someone else.
He pleaded guilty, Dominique. Tell me about the court case. This happened, am I right, in 2017 then, 2 years later?
The court case is due to start at the end of March, and he pled guilty at the start of March.
What were your thoughts around that?
I hated him for it. For 2 years, I had been getting ready to say my bit. For 2 years, I was getting ready to face him. And I cannot articulate how angry I was and how angry I still am. The amount of anger that I had leading up to this, and then he takes that away from me again. I was so angry that, sorry, I have no other words except angry.
So you wanted to take back control and have your say.
And he took that away from me again. And that was why I was like, right, I'm saying my victim impact statement. I'm reading it aloud. That is my...
That's the day, that's the moment you take back some control. Yeah. The sentence he originally got was 12 years?
He originally got 15 years. And for the 3 weeks that he pled guilty at the start of March and was due to start at the end, there was 3 weeks in between. So every week he got a year off. So he's in there from 12 years with a minimum of 9. And he's already 2 years done.
He appealed the sentence?
Yep. Yeah. It was probably the scariest moment of my life, realising that he might be out soon. He actually won his appeal, but the appeal judges said that 3 years was lenient enough. So he actually won, but didn't get a change in his sentence.
There was no reduction in his sentence as a result. What was your biggest fear when you got that call, or when you thought that possibly his sentence would be reduced? What ran through your mind?
He's going to come get me. The fact that I lived outside of Letterkenny and not in it was a minor comfort that he probably wouldn't be able to find me. I was walking around town the next day and I was seeing Keith Hearn everywhere.
Were you afraid he'd rape somebody else?
Yeah, and me, and kill me. I've said many times that I would rather he killed me than me living with the fact that I was raped. And I knew that he would do that to someone else.
What is the one thing you would like to see change in how we deal with rapists in this country? Something that would have changed maybe the experience that you had, while nothing can take away what happened?
Minimum sentencing. Minimum sentencing, and none of this, oh, we'll take 3 years off for pleading guilty. I don't care. He pled guilty. He still raped me. Like, he got 12 years. There's no healing in a 12-year sentence for me. And he might be out in 9, so there's no healing in a 9-year sentence.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to an awful lot of people who have been victims of other crimes, and, you know, family members who maybe somebody in their family has been murdered. And I've spoken to them about parole and sentencing a lot over the past couple of months. And exactly what you say there, their call, the one thing they would like to change is, again, minimum sentencing, because they cannot stress enough the fear of looking over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. So like getting a day in court behind you and under your belt and hearing of a sentence, but that's really only the start of the process. And then you just never know when the call is going to come in to say, actually, that's, you know, that's been reduced or he'll be out in such years. Whereas if there was minimum sentencing brought in, there is a hope that victims or survivors could park something for a certain amount of years at least before mm-hmm. they would have to sort of address it again.
Yeah, it's that and the way people go about these court cases as well. Like the stuff that should be allowed in, like what people are wearing, whether or not they were drinking. Like the Me Too movement started 2 years ago, more or less exactly 2 years ago. And we're still hearing, what were you wearing? What were you drinking? Were you in a dark place?
Did you hear that?
I did. I was trying to go back to college and one of the access officers asked me, because I was looking for extra help in the coming years, well, what were you wearing? Jesus, were you drinking? And I was like, nope, totally sober. And I was wearing a jeans and t-shirt. I was in my staff t-shirt. I didn't see anything wrong with it, to be honest, but my mum was sitting beside me and she was literally shaking.
With anger.
With anger, with sadness. She just, my mum couldn't understand why someone would ask a 23-year-old what were they wearing, as if it was their fault. But then we're getting into actual legitimate court cases where panties are being held up, or the victim's blood alcohol content is being put forward as evidence, like it matters that they were drunk. There needs to be a big overhaul in the justice system on how we treat rape cases. It's very frustrating for everyone involved on a victim's side to be coming up to a court case and being like, what'll they be asked? Are they going to be asked?
Can you see why some victims decide that they just can't do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have always said since I came forward, mind yourself. If you don't want to report, it's no one should be able to tell you differently. No one should be able to tell you, you need to get this rapist off the street. That is not your responsibility.
It's not your responsibility.
No.
Yeah.
But I will say, go to SATU. You do not have to, and this is a big misconception, you do not have to go to the guards to go to SATU.
So you should be entitled to your healthcare and to make sure
Absolutely.
That you're safe and that there's not going to be any long-term repercussions for you. People shouldn't think that that has to involve the guards.
Yeah. As another thing, SATU is completely free and it's completely confidential. Your name is on no file. There is a number that is assigned to your file and that's what you're known as throughout that system. No one can track you down. The people who work in SATU are the closest thing we have to angels.
Dominique, how are you doing now? How's day to day, every day for you?
It's all right. I find my anxiety is very very high all the time. Recently lost a job and it was more or less because I was so anxious I couldn't
perform.
I couldn't perform the stuff that I needed to do in the job. It's getting very hard to just be on the dole constantly, and that's the main effect, is that I can't work. Every time I think I've got a job, I find that this is just, it's too hard. And my dad has a saying that I have banned in the house is always keep fighting. I'm tired of fighting. I'm fighting all the time to just be normal. I've lost many, many friends because of how the rape has impacted me. I've become a horrible person to live with. I'm an angry person. I will shut myself up in my room for days. And every time I think it's getting better, something else happens. And it's just not fair.
Do you feel that if you continue on the road, and I don't want to sound like it's a platitude or, you know, condescending, but that if you stick with your counselling or stick with getting help and keeping, even if it is a small group of people around you, that light will come back into your life?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I know it's only 4 years.
Yeah.
And I have met friends that are like 16 years on, have their own kids, have a stable marriage. I know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just tired of trying to be, just keep going.
Because you're in the middle of it.
Yeah. It's just...
relentless at the minute.
That is the word, relentless. I can't seem to keep my head above water long enough for me to start treading water.
To catch a break.
Mm-hmm.
I hope things improve for you, Dominique. Yeah. I really do. And I really appreciate you coming to Dublin from Letterkenny today to share our story. I think it's really going to hit a chord with people. And all I can say is that I really hope that that light does come back for you soon. You deserve it to come back.
Thank you very much.
Dominique Meehan, thanks for coming in to talk to us on News Talk Breakfast.